Hey, what's happening? This is the Hopitarians Internet Show. I guess we named our show again a new name.
Yeah, because I saw the abbreviation was THS, and I'm like, yeah. It looks like this, but we just need something with an I in the middle there. So if we put internet show, then we can just be our podcast and just be called this.
Makes sense. I like it. So I guess we'll just get right to it. Oh, before actually we get right to it.
Wow, you just lied.
I know. Sorry. You can give us a 5-star rating on iTunes, Spotify, wherever you can review podcasts. And if you're able to leave a comment, tell us how much you love the Hop Out State. You can be serious, you can be sarcastic, you can try to be funny, but just tell us how much you like the Hop Out State when you give us a review. So, yeah, we can do that.
Or you tell us how much you hate the HAPA ethnostate.
There you go.
Against mix or against race mixing. I almost said mace rixing.
So yeah, there's that. And then yeah. Anyway, okay. Now for real, we're gonna just get right into it. Even though I said that previously. So I don't think we've done an episode like this before that I can remember. We might have done like reactions to something where they were talking about you specifically or me specifically. I know we've done videos where
We did stuff like that when the our HAPAs people were kind of like coming after us.
Yeah, I guess
that was
a
long time ago.
Yeah, I guess what I'm trying to say is like the podcast, we haven't done something, but yeah, you're right, we have done videos where we were kind of reacting, because someone apparently didn't they write some kind of article or something where they were talking about me?
Yeah.
I can't remember where it was at, but yeah, that was kind of funny.
It was, I don't know, it was probably just some deranged person writing some blog about you.
Something about them. It wasn't like it was in People magazine or something massive, you know. Oh my gosh.
That would be very bad. That would be very, very bad. Thankfully we're not popular enough for that to happen. So anyway.
Now that you said that.
Yeah, I know, right?
This is going to blow up.
Well, I am. All right. I'm not going to name names because this person also was talking about me, but not naming names, but it was obvious that it was about me.
Yeah.
But I'm not going to name names because I'm petty. And besides, this is more about the content than who wrote it, honestly.
Yeah, yeah.
Had a run-in kind of with like a red pill content creator on Twitter. And it's just weird whenever I see female red pill content, because I used to watch a lot of red pill content before. Yep. When I was kind of like reshaping my views on relationships and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. And some of the stuff they say is true, but a lot of it is very much like when you watch stuff happen in the real world, a lot of their techniques or whatever, or their views on women, kind of end up being more like feminism, but for guys, like, you know,
right.
It ends up being, you know, how like, okay, so feminism kind of ends up the logical conclusion at the end there is, or like the way that it's turned out has become more about hating men rather than, you know, advocating for women. And I think that there has to be some type of balance here where you advocate for each gender, but not put down the other, because like we are different. I'm sorry to say this, like this is apparently controversial to say now, but the two genders, there's only two, are very different from each other.
Hey, where is 2022? Come on, how dare you?
Yeah, I know, right?
Almost 2023.
And they are equally important, but not equal, if that makes sense, on certain things. And it's just like a biological thing, you know, like it's just never going to be equal.
I'm thinking about that Jeff Dye. He's a comic. He has like a little joke where he says, yeah, you're saying, yeah, men and women aren't equal. I'm sorry to hurt your little heads, you know.
Oh yeah, I remember seeing that.
And he's like, all the people that are out who have kids, when you guys went out to get a babysitter, did you, any of you pick a dude?
Like, yeah, exactly.
Like, come on, really?
You know, in that joke he was listing like the reasons why, like, oh, you might, your toddler might fall off the balcony and the dude will be like, oh, it's just taking a smoke. Yeah. But I was thinking more of, that's like funny, any guy who wants to be a babysitter, is probably like a pedophile, but anyway, I don't know. Maybe
women can be, women can be that too.
I know. I listened to this pedophile podcast. I know this is really bad, but I listened to this pedophile podcast because I wanted to know like what is wrong with these people, you know?
Oh yeah, sure.
And yeah. And they were talking about, well, also they had on a zoophile too. So there was a whole other, you know, anyway, but it was a woman who claimed that she's a pedophile and her age of attraction is 1 to 3 years old. But,
oh, come on.
But she's not attracted come to her, her own kids because it's different come like that. On. Yeah, I know. I'm like,
1 to 3?
Yeah, I'm like, ma'am, you need to be in jail. I love the fact
that they can't respond back to me when I say something really weird and creepy.
Yeah, these people need to be in jail. Like, I don't know. Anyway, I'm getting like way off topic now.
Yeah.
What was I talking about? Oh yeah. Okay. So I ran into this red pill content creator on Twitter. I had been coming across her tweets for a while and I just like a lot of them are really cringe. I'm sorry, but like, and I didn't want to say anything publicly because I don't want to create drama for no reason. And yeah, I also have a lot of mutual friends on other platforms with this person. But anyway, so like she'll post about how like one of the tweets that she posted that was super weird was like that we're coming for you old women, we're gonna take all your men because all like older men are better and hotter or whatever. And it's because her husband is older, I think. I think he's like definitely over the age of 45 or something like that. But anyway, and then she posts a picture of her husband like half naked and talking about how hot he is. And I'm like, I mean, okay, first of all, good for you. That's I'm glad that you like your husband. Yeah. That's how it's supposed to be. But like, can you not post that on Twitter? It's so weird. Like, I don't know. Like that would be like if I posted a picture of you like half naked and been like, look how hot my guy is.
All right,
aren't
let's
you
do
jealous?
This. Let's show pictures of my chest and all that good stuff.
Oh my god!
They always, you always say, "Oh, half naked." Like, which half are you talking about?
Oh boy. Anyway, well, I'm sure that you know what's funny about that. Some of the other tweets about, then she was like posting some like sexual fantasy tweets or something about her husband breathing down her neck. Anyway, I'm not going to get into that, but, and then like some of the replies were like, "Oh yeah, I do this every day with my husband." And then you click on their profile and it's like a bunch of porn. Like the whole profile is just porn, but they claim to be a Christian. Mm. I don't know. Christian woman too. And then one of the tweets, sorry, this is also off topic, but one of the tweets I looked at on that person's account, some of like the replies that were saying like, oh, I love it when he starts having sex with me and I'm unconscious. And I'm like, how would you know if you're unconscious?
Yeah.
Anyway.
I just blacked out. I don't know what happened. Wait, why are you on top of me again?
Yeah, I know, right? Anyway, yeah, so the run-in happened because, so I had been coming across her tweets for a while just because other people were retweeting it. And I just thought it was, most of her tweets were just pretty cringe, but I'm not enough to start something with, you know, like, but then she starts talking about, like, pregnancy and gaining weight in pregnancy. And I'm like, first of all, this is your first pregnancy, I assume, because she's pregnant right now. And, but she has not been postpartum or anything like that. So she just kept going on and on about like how, people shouldn't gain too much weight in pregnancy and you should lose the weight right after pregnancy, blah, 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 which I get because I don't think you should be super unhealthy during pregnancy either. Like you shouldn't be just eating ice cream every day.
Yeah.
But I mean, a lot of these things are, I'm not going to make excuses here, but when you're pregnant, you kind of got to eat what you can keep down most of the time. It's not just like a free for all. It's more like, I don't know if I can keep down anything other than protein shakes, or if this is, I'm going to eat one cookie. And if that's the only thing I can keep down, that's what I'm going to eat. At least for the first trimester, and some people for longer than that. And yeah. And then like the other thing about postpartum weight loss is a lot of like your hormones are completely whack and you're trying to take care of a newborn, especially for a first time mom, the weight loss is like the last thing you're going to think about. Cause
yeah,
you have a lot of stuff to do. And it's like a 24-hour thing. Like, I remember when our son was born, he had a whole bunch of health problems due to an early birth, which was related to, like, placenta hemorrhage. But anyway, I don't even think I left the room for, like, a month other than to, like, use the bathroom and take a shower and eat. Because there was so much it was so time-consuming that that's all I thought about, and that's all we had time to do, you know, because it was just feeding and then sleep when you can. Especially when you don't have any support postpartum, it's really hard. So I guess what kind of triggered me to respond to her tweet is that, like, I have a lot of empathy for new moms because, like, it's already hard enough. We don't need someone telling you that you're fat and that you need to lose the weight, you know?
Yeah, you're already emotional when you're pregnant. And then after pregnancy, like, you're probably even more emotional, arguably.
Yeah.
And yeah, someone, I guess, I think what, at least in my interpretation or my reading comprehension or whatever you want to call it, the way I looked at it was that you both just kind of looked at that stage in completely different ways. And then plus, like you were saying, she's pregnant. She hasn't given birth yet. So maybe when she has that baby in her arms, especially the first 3-4 months, those are, at least for us, those were, like, really hard. That probably the hardest part of the whole,
yeah,
taking care of a kid. But yeah, I mean, I just think you guys kind of looked at it in a completely different way. And yeah. I don't know, maybe it'll humble her more when she's actually taking care of the child and like, oh, wow, I didn't realize that it was going to be this difficult. Because, I mean, we were naive too. Like, oh, yeah, we have this plan. We're going to do this and that. And yeah. Then when everything was actually going down, I was like, oh, wow, it didn't happen the way we were thinking it was going to happen or planned.
Yeah, it was completely different. Yeah. Completely different. Oh. So the tweet in question was saying, basically the gist of it was that if you don't lose the weight postpartum, then you must not love your husband. And so that's where I the only thing I did, and this is the thing that
didn't she also, I don't know if it was that same too, but didn't she say also something along the lines like, you're just lazy?
Yeah, lazy and unmotivated and things like that. And she was saying like, oh, when you have progesterone in your system, which is what supports pregnancy, by the way. Shouldn't it make you, like, not hungry? And I'm thinking, like, and like a lot of people responded like, no, it would make you more hungry. Mm-hmm. Like, plus, I mean, if you think about it logically, progesterone spikes in your luteal phase, even when you're not pregnant. So like let's say you're not pregnant, but you just get a spike of progesterone in your luteal phase. That's when you tend to eat more because you're more hungry and you crave carbs and stuff like that more just because of that hormone in your body. Anyway, so I didn't really respond with anything crazy or anything. Like, I didn't come after her really mean or something. All I said was, I think you should, like, reword your message here if you're trying to get postpartum moms to want to lose weight, because they're already super, super fragile in their state of mind a lot of times, because postpartum anxiety and depression is pretty common to have. And also, like, they're just overwhelmed with a lot of things usually. Like, weight loss is not the first thing they're going to think about if you are taking care of a newborn.
No, you're just a whale. You're fat.
Yeah, I know, apparently.
You're lazy.
Yeah, and you don't love your husband, that too. That's the
big wait thing. You went from 150 pounds to 300?
Well, that's ridiculous. I don't know anyone who gained 150 pounds in pregnancy. That's like,
I know, I'm over exaggerating.
If you did, then there might be, you might actually have a serious medical problem. But right. Anyway, all I said was that maybe you should not word it like that, so that if you want to, like, educate people, maybe you should, I don't know, be posting, like, tips on how to lose weight postpartum, like, yeah, in a healthy way. And maybe, like, this is the, like, the people who I follow, and like the groups I'm in that I want to incorporate into my lifestyle, these people will give you tricks on, like, how to work out while you have a newborn, or they'll tell you like recipes that they're making that is good for weight loss, but like in a healthy way to support your metabolism, especially when your hormones are out of whack, or different types of teas and herbs that you can take to help regulate your hormones after pregnancy. Like that's the kind of content I think, especially on right-wing Twitter. I mean, I doubt like the people who don't care at all and just stay like they deliberately stay overweight after pregnancy. I don't think hardly anyone is like that. Like usually it's because you're overwhelmed and you don't have time to work out, or you don't have time to cook food that's healthy, stuff like that. So we need tips on how to support people.
Yeah.
Not just tell them that they're fat. Cause like a lot of times when people tell you that kind of stuff, when you're in a bad state of mind, then you're just going to think like, well, then what's the point then? You know, like I just give up. And maybe people get motivated by that, but I know a lot of people who don't. So I don't know. To me, it didn't seem like if you're targeting postpartum women, maybe you should be a little bit more, I don't know, less abrasive. So that's all I had said. And then it turned into this huge snowball fight of saying that I'm defending fat women and that I'm a whale and all this other crazy stuff. So, yeah, I don't understand how that ended up happening, but apparently I'm a mama whale. And even though I told her that, like, I lost most of the weight, and then she was saying that, oh, these people are hypocrites because it's all skinny women coming after me. And I'm like, I didn't even say that I'm skinny, so I don't know what you're talking about. Right. Like, I still have a bit of weight to lose, maybe like 10 pounds-ish. Because so, like, for my own pregnancy, I gained around 40 pounds. I did have this condition where I had slightly more amniotic fluid than normal. And that was one of, like, the main concerns. They were, like, watching that to see if it would turn into anything. And it ended up not being anything. But so there was definitely more water weight. And then, like, you know, immediately after birth, because you lose the placenta and the amniotic fluid and the baby obviously is outside of you, then you're going to lose weight immediately. And then, like, another thing that was kind of bad, though, was that postpartum, we had no idea what we were doing, and we were isolated and didn't have time to cook, really. So I almost didn't eat that much. Like, I tried to eat as much as possible because I was trying to breastfeed, but I lost some of the weight because I wasn't eating enough. And that's bad for breastfeeding. That's another thing that people were pointing out too. Like, you got to eat more calories when you're breastfeeding because your body is literally turning those calories into food for your baby. And it takes up a lot of calories to breastfeed.
It's so, a lot of trial and error.
And so you get, and some people say like people were telling me like, oh, when you breastfeed, you'll lose the baby weight, like, without doing anything. And I don't think that's true. I think a lot of this stuff is genetic. Because, like, I didn't lose weight from breastfeeding, I don't think. I think I lost weight because of being stressed out and not eating. And breastfeeding didn't turn out well for me anyway, so we ended up having to stop because of certain allergies with the baby and
latching. Yeah, I was issues. The one that was basically I was the one that made the final decision to tell you should stop breastfeeding and go into formula.
Yeah, because it was making him it was making the baby miserable, and it was making me miserable. Because I had to pump and breastfeed. So it doesn't sound like it's that bad, but when you think about all the things you have to wash and all the things you have to do, it's kind of like you have a middleman there, because it's like, oh, I could just have the baby latch onto my breast and feed. But if there's latching issues, or if they're not getting enough milk out of there, then I have to pump. So then I have to wash pump parts in between every single feed, which is every 2 to 3 hours, which is ridiculous if you think about how many times you have to wash that stuff. Then you have to wash bottles, and you have to also find time to feed them in between that, and sleep and maintain your household. It's just ridiculous. So honestly, I don't know how people do that.
Like, even in this, despite that, you were still wanting to breastfeed because you had this like mindset of, oh, you know, I gotta breastfeed. And
yeah, because it's healthier for the baby.
Yeah. it's the best way to feed or whatever. But I was the one that was like, no, it's making you, like you were saying, it's making you miserable. He's not latching for whatever reason.
And we went to lactation consultants and stuff, and they were saying he has a high palate and all this other crazy stuff. But so the main reason why we ended up stopping, though, was because of a milk protein allergy that we couldn't fix by taking out dairy out of my diet. It just wasn't working. So he had to be on special prescription formula. It was all crazy. So, like, I feel a lot of empathy for women who have bad postpartum, like at least the first 3 to 6 months. I don't even think you should be focusing on weight loss, to be honest.
Like, yeah, your main focus should be keeping the baby alive. Not, oh man, I gotta lose 20 pounds. I gotta look sexy for my husband and all this stuff while the baby is just sitting there.
That's another point though. Like, the whole thing that kind of made me feel like it was inflammatory was the part where she's saying you gotta lose weight for your husband. When, okay, like, I get that looking good for your husband is important because, maintaining your appearance means that you cared, right? Because, like, people want to look good for people who they're in love with, right? But there's also seasons of marriage where, you can't really focus on that. And you have to have a partner who, I guess I can't say partner now, whatever, because right-wing Twitter doesn't like it. Anyway, you have to have a husband who is understanding about that, because when you go through pregnancy and birth, that's a lot of trauma on your body, and you need time to heal and nourish yourself. So, like, if you have a husband who's upset with you for not losing the weight postpartum after a few months or a year, then maybe, like, I don't know, maybe they're not that great of a person, because I feel like you need to be very understanding about this type of stuff. So, I mean, the healthiest way to lose the weight is after 6 months, between 6 months and 2 years-ish after birth. And, okay, so, like, one thing I don't really understand is a lot of people a lot of right-wing people are like, well, why don't people want to be mothers, like, and enjoy motherhood? But then also you have to look really good for your husband. And also you have to be pregnant, like, back-to-back, so you have lots of kids. So then, okay, if you take that logically, then, so I'm going to be pregnant every 2 years, but I have to lose the weight before each baby, even though it's only going to be maybe a year between each baby. That's a lot of trauma on your body. So, I mean, honestly, even with my own pregnancy, since we're planning on trying again in 2023, I don't feel that I need to go on any extreme dieting or anything like that. Maybe just to, you know, nourish my body with good food and maybe strengthen my muscles and stuff so that I don't have a hard time carrying the pregnancy and taking care of a toddler at the same time. But the extra 10 pounds is not going to make a huge difference, like, in terms of conceiving and stuff like that. So I just think, like, if you're going to be realistic about this, you have to think, like, okay, if my wife is going to be pregnant back to back for a couple years, then she can focus on the weight loss afterwards. And also, like for things that matter in terms of weight loss, like, when you're chasing a toddler around, you're going to probably lose weight unless you're just sitting in front of the TV all day.
Yeah.
You're probably going to lose weight anyway, because you're going to be very active. And I think it did, like, my mindset really did change after having kids, because, like, now it's not really about me anymore. You know, I have to be healthy for my family so I can be around for them. So in that sense, I do agree with her that you should lose the weight if it's unhealthy. But I just think that shaming people about it when they're when they're going through a hard time already is going to be abrasive. And it seems like it's more of an attention seeking type of behavior, you know, like, doesn't it feel kind of more like this is just for I don't know, engagement with red pill guys who want to bash women, basically. I don't know. To me, it's that's what it looks like.
Yeah, maybe to just cater to the audience that she's kind of grown and got.
Yeah, and I didn't really understand that until afterwards because I didn't really know she was a red pill content creator. I just thought she was in the more of the femininity circles that I'm kind of in, which is why I guess I was more shocked that she would word it that way. But I guess her audience is more like red pill content. So in that sense, it does make more sense.
Well, you had mentioned earlier about like losing the weight after giving birth or whatever. I'm sure for some women, it is easy for them to just, oh yeah, now I look the way I was before, before I gave birth or I was pregnant or whatever. And then, but for other women, it's more difficult.
Yeah. And
so everyone's different.
Yeah. In that regard. It's really genetic, honestly. It's probably genetic and like hormonal.
Yeah.
A lot of this stuff is hormonal. And you also have to remember, like, having bad sleep impacts your metabolism. So if you have a bad sleep for like a year, your metabolism is probably going to slow down for a while because you're not properly getting, you know, full sleep cycles and stuff like that. And that's where I'm also like, so do you want us to all sleep train? Even though apparently, you know, a lot of right-wing circles right now, the crunchy right-wing circles are against sleep training. So am I not supposed to sleep train? Because if I don't sleep train, then I probably will get broken sleep for about a year. And is that going to be my fault now that my metabolism is slowing down?
But you also have to look, you also have to be, you have to look like a 10 out of 10 every day.
Yeah. Unless I don't love my husband, you know.
Right. And that's what I was saying before about how like the first 3 or 4 months, like that was a huge part of it, is the fact that, at least in our experience, he was sleeping for his nap would be maybe 30 minutes.
He had 30 minute naps until he was like 9 months.
And then like his regular, it's time to go to sleep now at night, he would wake up every couple
3 hours.
Yeah.
Every 2 to 3 hours. I don't know. Now I think about that. Like, why? Or like, how did I get through that? And then you think like, why do I want another kid? And then, but then when you see the baby, then you're like, oh, I want another baby. I don't know. It's just so weird. Like, you go through all this trauma and then you're like, yeah, I want another one.
But at least now we kind of know what to expect. It's not like I was saying before, how I was kind of joking about the fact that, oh, we have this plan and it's going boom, 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 step by step, bullet points. We're going to do this. And then when it's actually time to actually do the things we're going to do, it didn't happen that way. But for at least for the next one, okay, we'll be a little bit more prepared, because even for the first one, you're like, okay, you know, we're going to be the best prepared couple ever.
Yeah, we took birthing classes.
And even that, even with all the planning, it's still, you're probably not even going to go the way it was going to.
Yeah, a lot of this stuff is kind of up to God, you know? Like, you can't control things like this. You can plan, you can have backup plans, you can have preferences. But ultimately it's not up to you how your birth is going to go. That's my opinion. I know some people will tell me that, that's making it seem like, women are powerless, blah, blah, blah. And I don't think that's true, because I think there is power in surrender. And I think birth is about surrender. And I mean, coming from a Christian perspective, childbirth was, the curse that was put on women for, you know, very, very beginning of Genesis, eating from the tree. And I think that it's okay to not love, you know, giving birth and all the stuff that happens postpartum, because like,
could you imagine?
It really,
could you imagine if giving birth was like the easiest thing ever? Oh yeah. All right.
There'd be so many humans anyway. Yeah, I think it's okay to surrender and feel humbled, you know? Like, I think my birth experience was very humbling, because I was thinking that I was going to do all these things and None of it went to plan, but in the end, everything turned out good.
Yeah.
So, like, and by that, I mean, like, we have a son now, and that's a huge change in your life, and it changes your perspective on a lot of things. Anyway, I don't know what that has to do with the Twitter drama, but I guess it's related to, like, birth and stuff like that. But, yeah, I don't normally like to get into a lot of drama on Twitter anymore just because, you know, I'm a woman, so I'm kind of emotional about stuff like that. But in this case, it wasn't too bad for me because I just kind of moved on after that, even though apparently it didn't seem like she moved on because she went on fighting with people for about 3 days. So that was interesting.
Yeah, it's just, people are going to say, well, you're not moving on because you're making a hole.
Yeah. I don't know. It's like good content. So that's why I wanted to talk about it. Cause it kind of like brings up, like postpartum and birth stuff, which I'm interested in. Probably cause we just went through all that within the last year or so and we're thinking about doing it again. So
yeah,
hopefully next year.
Kind of made us think about this stuff again. I think so. That's probably why it was on our mind.
Yeah, I think it's good. Like, I'm just going to end this topic with, like, I think it's good to have a really good support system postpartum. A lot of people who can, you know, cook for you and do chores around your house. And it, like, if you don't have that kind of support around you, I recommend hiring a postpartum doula. It's worth the money because you're going to need help afterwards. You just can't do everything yourself. You know, it's ridiculous. Like, I didn't realize how hard it would be doing everything by yourself. And also you should, like, hopefully you have a really supportive husband who doesn't get mad at you for not losing the weight after a couple months after birth or whatever, even a year after birth, because what matters during that time is healing and growing your baby and making sure that the health of your baby is good. I think those should be the main focus, or at least for the first year. And then afterwards, then you can start trying to lose the extra weight because fixing hormonal issues and stuff like that. If you can't lose the weight, because you want to be around for your kids, you know, you want to be there when they're adults and you want to grow old with them and be able to support them and stuff. And of course, there's also the attraction between you and your husband. But I mean, him watching you become a mother should make him love you even more, not be disgusted by your body. And that's what I'm just going to say about that.
Yeah, like you're saying, it was a humbling experience. And anyone out there who's going through the pregnancy phase, any couples out there, or even any single women who they're pregnant and are going through that, we hope that it humbles you and that it becomes, I mean, it's going to be a life-changing experience. I don't know how it can't be.
No, there's some really shitty moms out there who.
That's what I'm saying. I don't know how it can't be, but yeah, I guess, you know, there's always going to be exceptions to that, I suppose.
I guess, switching topics here, we just wanted to briefly talk about the RSV problem in our country right now. I don't know if it's other countries, but in the United States right now, there is a huge, would you call it an epidemic? I don't know.
Pandemic?
It's a pandemic. Oh, my God. It's a pandemic.
Oh, no, not another one. We got locked down for this.
I know, right? But anyway, so RSV, which here I'm looking up the acronym for this. It's respiratory sick. I can't even pronounce that. Syncytial.
Yeah, something like that.
Anyway, so it's basically
very prepared over here.
Yeah, no, it's a single stranded RNA virus, respiratory virus. So adults can get it too, obviously, but it's not really that bad for them. It's kind of like the opposite of COVID, basically. Yeah. Like, you know, the older you are, or like when you're an adult, it doesn't really affect you that much.
Conspiracy
theory.
Stop it.
But when you're a child or a toddler or a baby, it's very dangerous and could be deadly. Mm-hmm. So, and there currently is like the treatment for it is kind of just treating the symptoms and trying to get you through it. So like right now, a lot of the hospitals are overwhelmed with, young children and babies that have RSV. And, it's like off season too. So like, it's not even like, you know, flu or RSV season right now. And it's starting early, which is concerning because we don't understand exactly why. And some people are saying, so this is like where it gets interesting. Some people were saying that, oh, it's because like we were locked down in 2020 and in part of 2021. So like, of course, in 2022, like those kids or babies were not exposed to enough, I don't know, like enough germs to be able to fight off an RSV by themselves. So that's why they're having issues with having like mutated RSV being really bad this year or something. And then I also saw people speculating whether the COVID vaccine in like pediatric, you know, like for children, weakens their immune system, so they are more likely to get RSV, which there were some trials done. I don't remember if it was Pfizer or Moderna. Anyway, they were saying that it's a possible side effect, which is kind of crazy because it's like, why would you have a vaccine where the side effect is another respiratory virus? Like, what's kind of you're trying to, like, and COVID is not as bad as RSV for children. So wouldn't you be more likely to be worried about RSV than COVID? I don't know. And then there's another thing that's coming out where our favorite company, Pfizer, is coming out with a vaccine for RSV magically. There hasn't been any vaccine for RSV for all these years. I remember my brother was hospitalized for it, I think, back in the 90s.
Hey, maybe they were doing all these tests now, and we didn't know.
And now all of a sudden there's a vaccine for RSV. I don't know. It just seems like bad timing.
Yeah, I mean, especially with all the like COVID stuff and people from the whole pharmaceutical or just the whole medical field kind of being more trustworthy to now, people don't really know what to think. Anything, especially with the like Pfizer, Moderna, and Johnson & Johnson, in this aspect, that's when people are going, I don't know. Like you were saying, it's like, yeah, that's kind of interesting that the timing of this thing coming out now.
Yeah. And I mean, like, so COVID vaccine is available to 6 months. Like when you're 6 months old, they recommend you get your first shot. And then after that, you know, the subsequent boosters or whatever. And the CDC was voting on whether to add it to the recommended vaccine schedule for children. And they say recommended, but they actually, you know, it ends up being mandatory because you need these vaccinations to get into school. And when you ask for like the reason why you need these vaccinations to get in school, then they say, well, the CDC recommends it, you know? So it's kind of like, well, recommendation, but actually you have to get it. So they voted to add that as a recommendation for 6 months old and up. So there's that. And if that ends up happening, and it is true that RSV is worse in children who have the vaccine and get weakened immune system, that's going to be kind of bad for the next couple of years. And it kind of sucks because, like, it's scary because you don't want to have a toddler or a baby in the hospital on oxygen.
Yeah.
Like, this stuff is really scary. And I know at least probably 5 people who have had their toddlers hospitalized in the last 2 months. That's ridiculous.
Yeah. Well, I guess we can end it there on that.
Wow, you know what? I think this podcast I talked the whole time, mostly.
Yeah, for most time, yeah.
That's weird. Usually it's the opposite way.
Well, I mean, it kind of mainly pertained to you. I was just here to support you and, you know, give my little quips.
Yeah. So sorry about if you're a guy listening to this and you don't care whatsoever about childbirth or postpartum stuff.
Well, it's just something to keep in mind that
if you get married and have a wife,
it's something that you should kind of just be aware of. And yeah, especially for couples that have kids, you definitely have to keep an eye out for this and just be wary of it. I mean,
you're talking about RSV, right? Not the other topic.
Yeah. Yeah. No, for everything. Everything.
Yeah. You gotta about. Be, you gotta be really careful about losing weight.
Yeah. Yeah. but anyway, thanks for listening and thanks for your support. And you can, again,
I thought you were going to say, and you can go F yourself. Yeah,
go away now. Okay. Go lose the weight. Don't be a big whale.
Yeah, stop being a whale. Bye.